House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is March the 6th, 2015, the 37th, and perhaps the last day of the session. The clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Here. Baker. Baker. Baldwin. Here. Barlow. Here. Berger. Here. Blackburn. Here. Blake. Here. Burkhart. Here. Bird. Here. Campbell. Aye. Kennedy. Here. Clem. Here. Connolly. Here. Dayton. Here. Edmonds. Here. Edwards. Here. Eklund. Here. Esquivel. Here. Freeman. Here. Gay. Here. Greer. Here. Halverson. Here. Harshman. Harshman. Harvey. Harvey. Harvey excused. Hunt. Yagi. Yagi. Yagi excused. Jennings. Kasparic. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone. Crone. Larson Lloyd. Larson Dan. Lindholm. Lockhart. Laux. Madden. McKim. Miller. Moniz. Nicholas. Nicholas. Northrup. Patton excused. Paxton. Pelkey. Petroff. Pieperinen. Pennell. Reeder. Schwartz. Summers. Steinmetz. Stubson. Throne. Walters. Wilson. Winters. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. Baker. Baker excused. Harshman. Harshman excused. 55 present, 5 excused.
The prayer for the day is offered by Bishop Aitchen.
Morning. I'll begin our prayer this morning with a quote from Cardinal Newman. God created me to do him some definite service. He has committed some work to me which he has not committed to another. I have my mission. I never may know it fully in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. Somehow I am necessary to his purposes. I am a link in a chain, a bond of connection between persons. He has not created me for naught. On this final day of our legislative session, let us take a moment of silence. And in this silence, let us listen for that voice, God's voice. God calls each of us by name. One God, many people. Each of us given a task. One God, one will. Each of us entrusted with some definite service. Many people. Many calls, God's will. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of life you have bestowed upon each of us and upon all your sons and daughters. Help us with greater clarity to hear your voice. Grant us the grace to know ourselves in relation to you. In the depths of our hearts, grant us the desire to know and serve only your will. In your one holy will, God our Father, may we find our unity. We pray, O Lord, that you grant your choicest blessings upon all of our people, for in the end we are yours. Lord, bless these men and women who have given so much of themselves and their varied gifts and talents to serve the people of Wyoming. You have entrusted them with a difficult task of leadership. Grant them the resolve to serve only you. Grant them the love to serve you in their service of the people of this state of Wyoming. As this legislative session draws to a close, grant them peace and rest from their labors. And let us close with a prayer of St. Thomas Aquinas. Grant us grace, O merciful God, to desire ardently all that is pleasing to you, to examine it prudently, to acknowledge it truthfully, and to accomplish it perfectly. For the praise and glory of your name. Amen.
Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Journal Committee Report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March 5, 2015 has been read and recommends it be approved, signed by Representative Steinmetz and Schwartz.
Messages from the Senate. Well, why'd you have that green folder out there? All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm told we have nothing yet, so we'll be at ease until the sound of the gavel.
Thank you. Thank you.
Messages from the Senate.
message number 466, override governor's veto. It failed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate has failed to override the governor's veto on the line items listed below on SEA number 56, being original Senate file 1 by the vote indicated. Footnote 25, page 26, Department of Health, I-16, nose 11-3, excused, and section 334, section 4A, page 81, that relates to the purchase of art. It was eyes 5, nose 22, 3, excused. SEA number 56, being original Senate file 1, has been transmitted to the Secretary of State for permanent storage, signed by Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 467, concurrence passed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendment to the bill listed below by the following vote. Senate File 141, State Budget Development, Eyes 27, 3 excused, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. And message 468, Joint Conference Committee Report adopted. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 57, School Facilities Appropriations. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated, which was eyes 26, 1 no, 3 excused, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Okay. Message number 469, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 145, Hospital Uncompensated Care. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Two more, okay. Well, I think there was a vote indicated. Somewhere there was. Here it is. Eyes 20, nose 7, 3 excused. Sincerely, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 470, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 146, Spending Policy Amendments. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated, which was ayes 26, 0 noes, 4 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We're now at that order of business of consideration of Joint Conference Committee reports. The first report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on House Bill 57. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move House Message 483. Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 57 and ask for your favorable aye vote. Members, this was a very short conference committee. We were very close. And so you might recall that as we passed, we changed the school facilities bill, the security appropriations, that we're going out in a self-nominated projects. We know that there's a study of all of our school facilities that is ongoing, should be finished early part of the summer or late spring, and we wanted to tie the appropriation to that study. And we did that, and we gave then the commission the authority to move forward down that study. Well, the Senate said we would like one more legislative review, and as you know, once we adjourn today, then we can't give the power to any committee to appropriate money, but what the wording is basically that we give the governor the ability to appropriate the money to the governor and to the school facilities through the commission, but it has one little caveat that both the Select School Facilities Committee and the Joint Appropriations Committee will review and recommend from that list, and that's the language. So I think we were real close. We wanted to just let the commission go once they had the study. The Senate said, let's take one more legislative look at it after the study before we go. And so I think that they improved the bill, and I'd stand for any questions. Thank you.
Discussion on the motion. We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 57. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker. Excused. Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi excused. Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Krohn.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Moniz,
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton, excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff, Pieperinen,
aye.
Pennell,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 48 aye, 9 no, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 57. The next Joint Conference Committee report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 145, Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move to concur on the I don't have the numbers with me, Mr. Speaker. The report to concur on Senate File 145. The message... Well, you get it. So what we did was we went back to some of the House position and some of the Senate position, and then we made it work together. So at the end, we kept the Harshman Amendment that makes sure this is a one-time only appropriation, that it is not in codified law. It's very clear that it's a one-time program. We kept the Greer Amendment that kept on the House side that kept $1 million for critical access hospitals that meet all the requirements from CMS. And that money, the $1 million, will be distributed to the critical access hospitals. Then we kept $2 million from the appropriation that was left on the Senate side and kept the distribution in, so that goes one-third to large hospitals, two-thirds to small hospitals, and will be distributed by that basis. So in the end, we will appropriate $1 million left from the hospital endowment challenge and $2 million from the general fund. And I didn't have time. I just barely got a chart, and I would be happy to photocopy it if you guys are interested in what your hospital receives as a result of this bill. And Mr. Speaker, I would urge the body to concur with this Joint Conference Committee report.
Discussion on the motion. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on and for this. I am curious, though, why the State Auditor's Office will be running this grant versus having the Department of Health do that.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. As I look at the report, it says they adopted the House Standing 1, but that all the other House amendments, it looks like, were deleted. So maybe the added language is part of one of those other amendments that was drug in as added language, but maybe there could be some clarification of that.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to have a little more explanation of how this appropriation jumped from $1 million when it left here to now it looks like to me like it's $3 million. And I'd like to know what the genesis of that settlement was.
Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So as I look at the deletion of House up on the top part of the conference report, it says the adoption of the following House amendments. That was Standing Committee Amendment number 1. And then, but the deletion are as I think the good representative from Sublette County said, deletion of number 4 was the non-codified. And then it looks like that language is kind of further amended in the, as you flip through page 1 and bottom of page 1. But I just, so that's my question, but it's not all there. And so that's my first question. It looks like a delete and further amend, and what was further amended, I guess. And then, Mr. Speaker and members, I see that House third reading amendment number 3 that we adopted, which is deleted, which we said that we would not spend any of this money on hospitals that don't have emergency rooms, one other qualifier, I believe, don't take Medicaid patients, and then we adopted language that are operated for profit. And so we had for-profit hospitals would not receive any of this money. So that was deleted out of here. So now for-profit hospitals can receive this money. And then, as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, and then the part about hospital executives, no pay raises for hospital executives out of these dollars. Now, I know the accounting tricks. I understand they can move money around and still, but it was a policy statement we said that this was trying to go to charity care, not hospital executive pay, and then also about paying the cost of construction or debt service. And I'm wondering why we would delete that third reading House amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm rising on and opposed to a concurrence on this. Folks, this when we sent this down the hall to the to our good friends down the hall, we had the exact position, and we could have held it like that. And it just so happens, though, that the committee that was appointed to it wanted to pay money back. And had they gone down there and stuck by the House position, we would have the House position. Because they wanted $5 million down there, and we had $1 million in. But they weren't going to let that thing go down the drain, so that it could have been done. So instead of doing that, the committee was made up of folks who wanted to come back and not do what we asked them to do in our votes. They did just the opposite. They put back in $2 million into this. And, committees can do what they want to do, but I submit to you that that was the wrong thing to do. And the wrong thing to do for all the reasons we talked about before. Now, for-profit hospitals are getting a benefit. So all these hospitals that are running at for-profit, and there was a list of them we passed around, about half of all the hospitals running for-profit, some of them profits are as high as 26 to 36% on the profit margin sheets that were passed out. So they're getting a bonus. There's a good hospital up in the basin that had $1.6 million embezzled out of that hospital by one of their managers. They get about $400,000 to that hospital. There are hospitals in the middle of the state who run at a profit and send their care, their uncompensated care, to other hospitals because they don't want to pay for them. And all those hospitals are getting a financial benefit out of this. And so if you walk down the list and who gets what, it's just not what we asked for. They didn't represent us when they went down there, and they came back with their own agenda. And so I'm on and against the amendment, and I ask you not to concur.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you to my brothers from the Appropriations Committee. I rise in favor of this concurrence, and I ask you to vote in favor of it. So we look at the history of this bill and what it's attempting to do. You know, started out, drafted at $10 million, and went through the other House, came to us at five. In House Appropriations, if you'll recall, it came out at, I want to say 3.3. Been a lot of numbers bounced around, but that seems to be the right number. We got to this floor, and it has been a close vote all the way along. And it's been a close vote for a lot of reasons. And it's a difficult policy, difficult message that we're sending with this. But within this body, and I stood at this microphone and said, hey, we do have some hospitals around this state that are in need and are in some desperate need. And we have come to the aid of different organizations, different people, different groups, different facilities, probably throughout the history of our state, but at least in the five short years I've been here, we've done that. And so it is true this body sent this down with quite a few amendments, and one of those amendments was a grant program to probably help five or six of those hospitals in desperate need. We had several other amendments, one that was kept, and I didn't pencil it through it, so I can't answer the question clearly, but that this would be clear, it was one time, and it wasn't codified law. It will be in our session laws. The other one was, as a chair of appropriations, it said regarding that we wanted to make sure it didn't go to compensation for executives and to the nonprofit hospitals and so forth. So as we all know by now, here on our last day, we go to a conference committee, and the other body has a duty and obligation to support their position, which was a $5 million into the formula, which I think none of us really particularly liked. But so what we looked at and what we went with was that grant program for those handful of hospitals that really need it. And then we took $2 million, which was less than the appropriation that was approved. And I say approved out of the Appropriations Committee, and put that into the funding formula to go through all the hospitals within the state. And that formula, if you recall, is based upon their charity care. That's money costs that they have already incurred. And I can sit and tell you that we can nitpick who that money should go to. I mean, I've sat up here and said I don't like the fact that it even goes to the organization that runs the hospital in my community. But the fact of the matter is these funds are going to help some of the hospitals. This is a compromise, plain and simple. And it's one that's going to accomplish a couple of goals. And those goals are we're going to help those handful of hospitals that really need it. Two is we are going to give something back to all of the hospitals on the list for their charity care. And three is that we're going to look at this, and we're going to start holding them more accountable. The whole discussion all the way through this is we've got to look at what we're doing. So hospitals can't come back and expect to get bailed out. So we've raised this issue, you know. And we all know right here this whole thing hinges on the fact of where we've been put with this body and the other body's position on Medicaid expansion. You know, we push that discussion off. Whether you're for it or against it, this is what this hinges on. So an idea out of the Senate to help deal with that. You know, close votes on this floor on what we can do to help. This compromise, I think, gets us there. It's just like every compromise leaves a little bad taste in everybody's mouth. So I would ask for an aye vote on this. Thank you.
Representative Byrd.
Mr. Speaker, first time this for a second.
Any more discussion on the motion? Chairman Zawada, Sir Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm still looking for that element of long-term fixes for the hospital. If they could just explain to me, if this is a one-time shot of money, how is that going to change anything in years 3, 4, and 5, or 10 years down the line? I would appreciate a comment on that.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Nicholas.
One last time for today. folks, remember that the charity care that we're talking about is charity work that they bill out at their own assessed rates. It's they're artificially treated numbers, and they do it just to make it look like they're doing something when they're not really expending all those total dollars. That's, if you look at the definition on the handout they gave us, that's the way they define charity care, number one. Number two, as I talked about yesterday, they have been over $300 million in new construction in the last 2 years for hospitals around the state of Wyoming. What we did when we voted on this is we said, well, those hospitals in need, we want to take care of you. That's what we did. We gave them $1 million, and each one of them got at least up to $200,000 to take care of those immediate needs. And that's what that was the deal that we struck here, and they took down to negotiate. I discussed this after negotiations with the folks on the Senate side. They were just tickled to death. They thought they were going to get a cram down, and we came in and opened up and gave them their position, and we didn't have to do it. So we weren't fairly represented, and they didn't strive hard to get what we wanted to get. And I just think that if we really want to just help the ones in need and then just pass the money out willy-nilly to all the other hospitals, all the ones that are for profit, honestly, they don't need it. Everyone likes a shot in the arm, but there's no demonstration that the rest of those hospitals are in need. It's just simply not there, and it's a bad precedent. And so I'm against the compromise.
Gentleman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I know I understand the rules of debate and get to speak two times, but I heard two of the members of the conference committee, and I just wanted to kindly ask again the answer to this question of why you took out House Third Reading Amendment number 4, deleted it and further amended it, and how you changed it, because I'm not sure exactly how it got changed. And then the other question is, why was House Third Reading Amendment number 3 taken out? For-profit hospitals, executive pay, building, and debt service. So don't admonish me, please, Mr. Speaker. I understand the rules, and I'm hopefully get the answer to that. Thank you.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A lot of good questions. Why the auditor's office? Because they have a quick turnaround time. Because they are able to cut checks. We've got hospitals that have 19 days cash on hand. As Mr. Speaker was announcing this, got this chart, and I apologize that you don't all have it in front of you, but let me tell you, the hospitals that are getting it, I'm looking at the for-profit hospitals. One of them is going to get $799. One of them is going to get $1,199. The highest one is going to get $146,000. But let me tell you about the hospital with 19 days. They're going to get $171,512. The way we set this up was that there are hospitals, big hospitals, that have a lot of uncompensated care, and they're going to get some to make up for that. Maybe they do have the ability to shift things around, but maybe they're putting salaries on hold, and maybe they're losing nurses and having to use travelers. There are a lot of reasons and a lot of ways that people compensate for that. As far as the policy amendment, and the good representative that brought this up, we did adopt most of the House amendments, and we did further amend some, and I'll just have to admit that one got lost in the conference committee. It wasn't that we lost our position, it's that we were dealing with a lot of different amendments and a lot of different further amends, trying to make this work for the most amount of people possible. As far as what about years 2, 3, 4, and 5, going forward, this is a one-year program. Going forward, Committee 10 is going to study this. We're going to study it until the hospitals are going to be sick of us and won't want us to come back, even when we're sick. I can't answer as to what that's going to look like at the end, because I'm not going to predispose the study of it. I'm not going to suppose that what we're going to do is going to result in anything. I'm just saying that we're going to try and fix the governance. We're going to try and fix the taxation. We're going to try and equalize and give hospitals the ability to help themselves if the federal government will just stay out of it. So I just could tell you that if you have any questions about your hospital or about the smaller hospitals, the ones that I am the most concerned about, we got the most amount of money to them. And I feel really good that we're able to keep doors open. I can tell you from experience, one of the hospitals in my county that did close, it literally took an act of Congress to get it back open again. It's really hard to pull things back together once you disassemble a hospital. And so that was my goal. That's what I sought to do. I hope that you can stand beside me in making sure that these hospitals stay alive another year while we try and figure things out. Thank you.
We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 145. The majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker excused. Baldwin. Barlow. Berger. Blackburn. Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi excused. Jennings.
No.
Kasparic. Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz. Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 42 aye, 15 no, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 145. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 146. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 490, Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 146 and ask for your aye vote. Members, if I put another chart in your tray today, it's just a front-back one-pager. Remember when we discussed this issue, it was the biggest piece of paper you've ever seen in your tray. Now, that piece of paper shrunk a little bit, and we really had a good representative from Campbell County and from Natrona County, and myself had about a two-and-a-half-hour conference on this bill. Would you say, or was it 2 hours? It outlasted my kidney, Mr. Speaker, I know that. But we had the staff from the
the governor's office, our fiscal staff. We had the treasurer was there and his staff, and we really got all the information out and really tried to set the best policy, because we're going to kick this in place. That'll probably be in effect, you know, after many of us are off this floor, and until probably the next boom, really, where we can disengage it like we did in 2004 when we had so much money that really didn't need this spending policy and need this return on this investment. And so really there's two parts to this bill. There's the permanent mental trust fund on the general fund side, and then there's the common school permanent land fund on the school foundation side. So if you would find the side that is the permanent mental trust fund side, and it has the two boxes down at the bottom with the LSRA and the SIPA accounts. And you might recall in this bill we codified those accounts, and we codified the school foundation reserve account. Sometimes we call that the S-LISRA account. It's kind of a liquid savings on the school side. But so anyway, we had. I'd first like to talk, Mr. Speaker, and members about the permanent and general fund side, the permanent mineral trust fund side, and we had three scenarios: current law, what we would like to do until 2020, and then kick in at 2021 with a little higher spending policy amount at 6%, and kind of coinciding with the payoff of the capital. And so as we work through the conference committee on the general fund side, there's really these five issues, and I'll try to summarize them. One was to move the reserve account from 75% of the five-year average up to 100%. And that was our House position, to move from current law 75 to 100%. So if we're going to start guaranteeing, we wanted a little bigger reserve account. And that would also, it would kick in immediately to prevent the tip of some 40 to maybe 90 million this year into the permanent fund. It would hold in the reserve fund and then be able to guarantee these revenues back to the general fund. So that's one issue, moving the reserve to 100%. The other issue is really where the Senate was at 2.5% profiled revenues to the general fund, and then a 1.25% to the LSRA first, and then a 1.25 to the SIPA second. You remember our House position. We said 2.5% to the general fund, and then we filled those, that SIPA and LSRA buckets simultaneously at the same time. We didn't put one in front of the other. And then you might recall we had a debate on separation of powers, where the governor could profile his budget out of the SIPA account, and we said in our House position half the SIPA. And so that's another issue with the governor. And then finally, the fifth issue is really this guarantee, and that's really the arrow that flows from the reserve account back to the general fund. So if in some year we didn't have that 2.5% was not realized, we have that reserve account to guarantee. The Senate calls that the clawback. We call it the guarantee. It's interesting how these names. So really, the size of the reserve account, the size of the spending policy amount that's profiled in the general fund, the location of the LSRA and SIPA, or whether they go together, the governor's issue on half the SIPA, and then the guarantee, the arrow going back that we eliminated in 2004 to guarantee revenue back to the general fund. And so this is the compromise in this report on the general fund side. Instead of 100%, we adopted 90%. And they proposed 80 from 75, and we proposed 90, and it stayed at 90. We did recede from our House position from eventually rolling out to a 6% spending policy amount, and really the treasurer was really not in favor of that. And he just felt it pushed him, and we looked at the long-term returns, and there it, you know, we've had two over 6% in the last 10 years, and then we've had several at 3% and 4%. And so that 10-year average is around 5%. And that's kind of that, you know, number we feel, and I always call it, you know, it's the Goldilocks. It's just right. Not too hot, not too cold, and it's just right. And so we receded from our House position and kept the 5%. We did, however, keep our House position where we didn't have the LSRA in first place. We wanted to fill the SIPA and the LSRA at the same amount, and we did keep our House position where we have the arrow, the guarantee, or as the Senate calls, the clawback to the general fund from the reserve account. So we will then profile 2.5% in the Craig report, and that'll be out there for spending in the general fund. That'll be guaranteed and profiled as part of when we profile our revenues in each October and January. And then finally, the last issue on the governor's ability to suggest the budget out of only half of the SIPA account. We receded from our House position, so the governor would be able to profile items in that SIPA account. And so those were the five positions on that and where the conference committee ended up. And then when you move to the other side, to the school side, there's really four positions. And really it's the Senate had 3%. And as an amount, but it wasn't guaranteed. And we eventually would move that to 3.5%. They had 3% going to the school foundation program, 2% going to the SLISRA, the school foundation reserve account, 3 and 2. We had moved that to 3.5 and 1.5. The Senate did not have the guarantee or the line going backwards from the reserve account, the clawback, as they call it. We did. The Senate had only 75% in the reserve account. We had 100. And then another issue that we did in Appropriations Committee, and we said the interest in the school foundation reserve account should stay in that account and not flow like the rest of the state's pooled interest to the general fund. Boy, they were like ready to start a campfire over this one. And so it was kind of fun, actually. We'll have to remember that and put that in some more bills, I think. But so, Mr. Speaker and members, so there are four issues then, and I'll just repeat them again. The size of the guarantee, whether it's 3% that the Senate had or where we would move to 3.5, 3 and 2 or 3.5 and 1.5, the guarantee piece, the arrow flowing backwards to the school foundation program, and then the size of the reserve fund, whether it was going to be 90 or 75% currently or 100%, and then finally that interest piece of all pooled interest currently goes to the general fund, and we kind of separated this one account to keep it in there. And this is where we compromise on these four issues. We basically took two House and two Senate positions. We gave up our position on the interest on the SFRA and the SLISRA, you might call it, and that interest will go, like all other accounts, pooled accounts will go to the general fund. So we didn't have to build a campfire over that one. And then we did recede to the Senate's position of 3 and 2 instead of 3.5 and 1.5. We did, though, retain the House position of the arrow going backwards, the guarantee, so this 3% will be profiled in the Craig report. And then finally, what was the last one? Oh, Mr. Speaker, the size of the reserve account will move from 75 to 90%. And so we thought we spent a lot of time on this, had a lot of thoughtful discussion. And really a lot of discussion. It wasn't one of these things where we had to call time out and come back and forth. We talked and talked and talked and took a lot of input, and I think we're really in a pretty good spot. And our conference, everybody felt pretty good about it, and that we're setting a long-term policy for the state to start out with and to work us through this period of declining revenue. So I'd stand for any questions, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In discussing the spending policies and looking at bills that we passed in this session compared to the past two, we actually passed more bills this session. But if you look under Goldenrod, there's six House bills there and that dealt with appropriations. And three were sponsored by committees and then three were sponsored by individuals. And I think that the spending policies, when we come back to this body and you have good ideas that taking money out of those, whether it's a SIP account or the LSRA or even the general fund, in the cases here on the Goldenrod, it really shouldn't be like pulling teeth. You know, every time you get up and there's an appropriation on a bill, and, you know, committee number two, they get up and they're the ones telling us that, you know, we're underwater. Well, we're not underwater. So I guess when you guys go home, you know, learn the goldenrod, learn these spending policies, learn how the budget works, know where the money's at, know these coffee cans, because there's money available, you know, for some of these good ideas. And Mr. Chairman, I appreciate all the work you guys did on the budget and working with you in 4 years on appropriations. But it's difficult when you look at this goldenrod to get a bill passed, you know. And if only three individuals in this body got bills passed that they sponsored that had appropriations on them. And I just don't think it should be that difficult. We shouldn't always be saying we're broke, because we're not. So that's my final say.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Speaker, I guess we'll see whether we're broke again in another year when we look at a budget and $60 oil. But with respect to the bill before us, I think those concerns that were raised by the speaker that just spoke are a good endorsement of why we need this bill, because what we're looking at, in its simplest term, is we're taking what is the profiled money and we're increasing what's actually profiled. That money that typically we have expected but we haven't profiled, well, some of it will now be on the profile. So we go from what was essentially 2.1%, which is what the profiled, the fixed amount of earnings, which was actually show up in your Craig report that is budgeted off of, that under this bill now and with this compromise goes to 2.5% and is guaranteed. And so that ends up being about $60 million, and I can't remember if it's $60 million a year or a biennium, more in the projections that we always would anticipate would come in but has not been included. So it's going to level out projections and make the projections more consistent with what the money that we're actually bringing in. Same with the SIPA. How we've been dealing with the SIPA has sort of been catch-as-catch-can. You know, we'll pick an arbitrary number, and that's the amount going into the SIPA for profiling by the governor. And so with this bill now, we get a more predictable, consistent funding for the SIPA that people can expect to be there year after year after year. We get a more consistent, predictable form of projections and profiling of the revenues. And I think really with the compromise, this is a much stronger bill than it was when it left the House floor. So I'd urge your aye vote on the conference report.
Representative Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Having taken a position on the last conference report against my chairman, I just wanted to get up and support this. I think the compromise is great. You know, our chairman of appropriations is a handsome man. He's brilliant with style and grace. I mean, despite his excessive flatulence, he generally smells well. And just good job, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Swanser, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to rise in support of this bill. I have some concerns because it seems like all the things that they addressed would have been a great interim study to make sure we got everything down, and kind of doing this in the last moment is a little worrisome. But those tranches that we've been looking at, it's going to do away with those. A large segment of them, and I think that is the biggest concern that I've had as we look at those unprofiled gains, that all this money is now scheduled to go somewhere that we have to look at, and then if we decide we want those, then we have to pull it out of one of those accounts, and I do very much like that. And the other thing that I like is that we're putting a fair amount of money into one-time funding. not that we haven't done that over the years, but it's just kind of been out there, and if they decided to put it there, they did, and if they didn't, they didn't, and now it's going there. So I would say that this is a wonderful first step, and I'm in favor of it.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to rise in support of concurrence. I'm not madly in love with this, but I do like it. I think it's a step forward, and we're definitely making some progress on this issue. So I would urge your aye vote.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the chairman? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate, I think they have medicine for that, but this must be the 37th day. No, I think a couple things. Just so this will, as the good Speaker Pro Tem said, it will profile more money in the general fund on the goldenrod. And I think the other part, it gets us out of this, I think, which is really a harmful discussion of, well, you never profile capital gains. And then I say, well, yeah, we don't profile capital losses either. And we never want to have our treasure downstairs chasing the capital gains with the permanent fund, because number one is preservation of the corpus. Number one, that's the number one deal. We want to make sure that $6 billion moving to $8 billion is going to be preserved and keep rolling to $16 billion someday and on and on. And so that's number one. And so it gets us out of that, I think, which is a harmful discussion. I think it's a political poison, and I think it's bad policy. And so it moves us away from that. To talk about doing this on the last day of the session, I tell you, we've worked this deal. I know the good minority leader and I, we have just... we have gone at it for at least 10 years on this issue, and thankfully I've won almost all those. And I'm not keeping score, but I'm just telling you, I think the deal is you got to have 31 votes, and I've been able to, all of us on this floor have thought, well, we don't need the money yet. We don't need the money. Well, we're moving into declining revenues, and we want to give our fiscal staff and our Craig group the ability to profile this, and they feel comfortable with that amount, and particularly with a larger reserve account. And then finally, I think what the good chairman of transportation said, and you know, we could put that whole 5% into the general fund and it'd be gone next budget. You know, when we came here last time to build the budget, there were $750 million in supplemental requests. And we work our budget off the exception process. I mean, it is the budget. You come in, we examine it. $750 million. And it's that way every budget. We'll have, I don't know what's going to happen in the next few months, but there'll be exception requests. But we've had $1 billion of exception requests. And like I always say, we're so blessed in Wyoming. We can do anything we want, but we can't do everything. And we have to make those decisions. And I think by putting 5% in the general fund, as the chairman of transportation said, it'd be gone like that. There's one or two agencies could swallow that up this afternoon. And you have to, I think, keep a little bit of money to the side, because there are one-time things. There are state health facilities. There will have to be a state office building in this town someday. It got vetoed back in 2010, but we're going to have to keep building in our community colleges. There'll be issues like passing lanes on Highway 59 and on and on and on, and I think you have to have those one-time funds. And so I think the SIP account's really important. And finally, we have a very transparent way that we do recognize liquid savings are important. We spent 10% of it this year. $2 billion. Boom, pow, explosion, $1.8 million. We spent 10% of it, $200 million. So look at your first goldenrod to this goldenrod. And so liquid savings are going to be huge. And I think we have no debt in this state. Right? It's one of the best run states in the country. We've been blessed by our minerals and the men and women who are out there doing that work in the cold weather every day and severing those minerals. It's huge. It's changed our state. And we've had these booms and busts and we're going to be fine. But I think what we've done this time is during the good times we've saved. And now in these down times, we're going to continue the open for business sign in this state.
not going to shut it down like we had to in the 90s. So appreciate your support for the conference and my indulgence. And you all travel safe going home. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 146. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker excused. Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Flake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson. Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi, excused, Jennings,
no.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
no.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton, excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey, Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
no.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 49 aye, 8 no, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Committee Conference Report Number 1 on Senate File 146. We are now going to read and sign enrolled acts. Don't get your hopes up. There's only two of them. See him. First one's 87 Senate. What's his next one? 88 Senate. Okay. The first enrolled act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 87 Senate.
Enrolled Act 87 Senate from original Senate File 8, an act relating to education accountability.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 87, Senate being original, Senate File 8. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 88, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 88, Senate from original Senate File 141, an act relating to the administration of government.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 88, Senate being original, Senate File 141. I have so signed. We'll stand at ease until the sound of the gavel. Thank you.
ladies and gentlemen, for I could have your attention. Every Saturday I send my kids a trivia question. I text it and we have a little contest. So since you're looking a little bored, I'll pull out a couple of my favorites and let you work on them in about 5 minutes from now. I'll come back to the answer. But anyway, you know that Wyoming's high point is Gannett Peak, 13,000 whatever feet. So one part of this question is, what state has the lowest high point? And the other part is, Wyoming's lowest point is up in the Belfouche River, isn't in Crook County, it's 4,000 or something. There's one state that has a higher low point. So it's what state has the lowest high point and what state has the highest low point. That's a fun one, and think about it. And no Googling out there. Anybody could do that. You gotta just know.
ladies and gentlemen, if I could have your attention. I know you're all on pins and needles. So there were several right answers, actually, and Representative Reeder says that the high or the lowest high point is 309 feet in Florida. And I don't question that. I know it was Florida in the 300s. And then the lowest high point is somewhere in eastern Colorado, and Wyoming's is second. Colorado's is the lowest high point. So thank you for playing.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number last. Mr. Speaker, this is to inform you that the Senate has completed its business and is ready to adjourn. The Senate adopted the following motion, that the Senate 63rd Wyoming State Legislature General Session adjourn until a date and time which are determined jointly by the President of the Senate and by the Speaker of the House of Representatives for the purpose of calling the Senate and House back into session. That if no such time is established before December 31st, 2015, the Senate 63rd Wyoming State Legislature General Session is adjourned, signed, I effective at 12 o'clock noon, and that the date and the legislative budget session 63rd Wyoming State Legislature shall convene on the 8th day of February 2016 at the hour of 10 o'clock a.m. That the Senate specifically concurs that any identical motion adopted by the House of Representatives, that if the House of Representatives fails to concur in the action of the Senate under paragraphs 1 and 3 of this motion by adopting an identical motion applicable to the House of Representatives, the Senate 63rd Wyoming State Legislature General Session is adjourned, signed, die. Sincerely, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We're now going to read and sign some enrolled acts. The first act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 89, Senate.
Enrolled Act 89, Senate, from original Senate File 57, an act relating to school facilities projects.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 89, Senate, being original Senate File 57. I have so signed. The next act is Enrolled Act Number 145, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 90, Senate, from original Senate File 145, an act relating to public health.
You wrote down the wrong number. About to sign Enrolled Act Number 90, Senate, being original Senate File 145. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 91, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 91, Senate, from original Senate File 146, an act relating to the administration of government.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 91, Senate, being original Senate File 146. I have so signed. We'll stand in recess until the sound of the gavel. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the bills currently pending before this body in the 63rd Wyoming State Legislature 2015 General Session be indefinitely postponed.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I second the motion.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. By your vote, the motion is passed the House. Majority Floor Leader Berger.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the Senate be informed that the House of Representatives of the 63rd Wyoming State Legislature General Session is ready to adjourn.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion carries. I'm directing the House Chief Clerk, Patty Benskin, inform the Senate that the House of Representatives General Session of the 63rd Wyoming State Legislature is ready to adjourn. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that a committee of two be appointed to inform the Governor that the House is ready to adjourn and to escort His Excellency, the Governor, and the First Lady to the House.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion carries. Representative Moniz and Representative Throne will please inform the Governor that the House of Representatives is ready to adjourn. Please escort His Excellency, the Governor, Matt Mead, and First Lady to the House chamber. The House of Representatives will stand at ease until the sound of the gavel. Sound on the gavel. Would you put your finger right here like this?
Would you like to hear a story that happened in the Missouri legislature a couple of years ago?
What?
They were having a lot of animosity and bickering and stuff, and so they got somebody that was in the chair one day for the committee of the whole, and he didn't like the opposing party saying on the bills. So he ordered their chief to bring them back to the committee and break them. And she said, exactly, and that's what she said. Because when we go to our first meeting, we've got a great chat session that's just focused on talking about problems in our chambers. Anybody got to be able to tell how it's going to be. She brought that one up, and we had this kid there with our guys on the floor. And we didn't know how to respond to it. And then after the chat, we were going to go on the floor.
House will come to order. All rise, please.
Mr. Speaker, it is my pleasure to announce His Excellency, the Governor of Wyoming, Matt Mead, and the First Lady, Carol Mead.
Governor Mead, Mrs. Mead, we welcome you to the House of Representatives.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you all. Thanks for the nice welcome. I just was over at the Senate. They wanted me to tell you hello. Don't check me on that. Thank you for this time. I know you've eagerly been awaiting my arrival, not to hear me speak, but because this is a symbol that this session is at an end. And so I will be brief. I have gotten, as I always do every year, some very good advice from some of your members on that this isn't the best time for a long speech, and I recognize that. But there's a few things that I would like to say. First, I would like to, as I forgot to do in the Senate, again reintroduce my wife, Carol. Thank you for being here today. And to all of your members, I want to say thank you for your work. I'm getting a little bit nostalgic as we take time today to look around these chambers. We know that this is going to be, for me, my last address in this chamber and in the Senate chambers. When we come back, this will look different. And particularly for some of you longtime members, I know it has a special place in your heart because of all the work and the good memories that you've had here. So now is the time, as we end the session, that we are all going to be judged. And you probably saw this morning's papers, and as far as I read it, I'm not a good reader, but we all got an A. So congratulations on that. I want to visit about that, but first I just want to say again, I so much appreciate a citizen legislator. As we looked at some of the remarkable bills that you all worked on and passed and I was able to sign, and I'll mention a few of those, vets getting in-state tuition and their families, protection for sexual assault victims, Kevin's Law, Interstate Medical Licensure Compact, the NRC agreement state authorization, some great protections for private property and for ag. As we worked on those, and I had a chance for formal signing on many of those, what I hope the public recognizes is the responsiveness of the legislature and the House members, the Senate members, because many of those important pieces of legislation were brought to you by your constituents saying, here is a need, can you address it? And you did address it, and you addressed it in a big way. And I think it is, again, a reflection of how important a citizen legislature is and how effective a citizen legislature is. And I congratulate you on those pieces of legislation and many more. I also want to thank you for the budget. The budget is always sort of a funny animal in the sense that as you look at it, you will see things in there that you like, things in there that you really don't like, and things in there that you may be okay. It's the same with me. It is the same with me. As I go through it and I decide what I may want to veto or not veto, I try to take into account that even on those areas that were close, a lot of work, a lot of compromise went into the budget. If you voted for the budget, you recognize that it's not perfect for anyone. But for me, I do appreciate this body recognizing those things that I thought were important. We don't always agree on the amount of funding or where the funding comes from, but I certainly appreciate the work on the budget, and I would just say of my time in office, I had fewer line item vetoes on this budget than I've had on any previous ones. So a lot of work went into that, and I thank you. For the good bills, for the budget, again, you have my thanks. There is room left for us to work on. First, starting with health care. I appreciate there is differences between the Senate and the House, and there's differences in each body amongst the members on health care. We proposed Medicaid expansion. That was rejected. But what I don't think, there's many reasons for the vote, but I don't think anybody rejected addressing health care, not because they don't believe there's a need to address health care in the state. I think everybody recognizes there's a need to address health care in the state. The challenge for you and the challenge for me is how do we do that? How do we recognize that we have the highest health care costs of any state? How do we ignore $200 million in uncompensated care for our hospitals? How do we ignore that some of our small hospitals are operating on 19 or 20 days of cash? How do we ignore the fact that every year that we go by, I get calls, and you probably do too, from employers who are tired of writing a check, goes to Washington, D.C. for health care, and then is spent for citizens of another state? How do we ignore the fact that we have 17,000 people, the majority of whom are working, who are falling in the gap? As I've said before, and I'll say again, I'm not a fan of the ACA, and we sued on it, and we lost. And so I will look forward during this interim period for suggestions from each and every one of you on if there is a better path forward for us. I want to hear what that is. But as we arrive next session, we do need answers. And if it's not the ACA, where are we going to go? You all worked on the issue of small hospitals this year, and I appreciate that because you recognize the challenge for some of our small hospitals. But I would just tell you, from my perspective, we cannot afford as a state to every year say we're going to put out X amount of money for our hospitals. And I think you all recognize that, saying, talking about such as this is a small Band-Aid on a wound, and that was the expression as we had tried to address small hospitals. But small hospitals are key to, not only to our health care, to our communities, but they're key to our economy. We cannot have donut holes in our state where you're driving 75 miles for prenatal care. We can't have donut holes in our state where somebody breaks their arm, they have to drive long ways to take care of their kid or themselves. It hurts economic development as well as quality of life. So not easy answers. Not easy answers out there, but we do need answers, and it's a challenge to you and a challenge to me to find those answers. I would still ask, as I did in my State of the State, I think we need work on a fiscal policy for our state. One of the things that I think concerns at least some of you and concerns me as well is just the budget process generally, joint appropriations, how it works from the executive branch. What money is available and then how is it spent? Who gets to make the recommendation and how that is treated? And we'll agree and disagree on the amount of money or which programs should be spent, but we have to have greater clarity, transparency, and consistency in the budget process. And that is something that I think a fiscal policy, as we work during the interim period, if we have clarity in that going to next session, especially as we face low oil prices, and hopefully we won't, but if we face $50 oil prices going into next session, we're going to have a good plan on how we're going to deal with those low oil prices. We need continued work on water. We need continued work on infrastructure in our communities, in our towns, and our counties. I think that is critical. We need continued work on education, particularly career technical education, in my mind, and computer science. This is an area where we have a skills gap. We have jobs waiting, but we haven't provided the necessary training to many of our citizens who could fill those jobs. So we'll look for that work. But as I think about the criticisms of the legislature, and I will tell you this, I can completely disagree with you, but I have and I will always defend a citizen legislature, all of you, for the work that you do. It's a lot of work, and it means a great deal to the citizens of our state. And not that quantity means everything, but I would point out this. This Congress, federal Congress, convened on January 6th of this year, Since then, they've enacted 4 laws. You all, by my count this morning, have got about 198, and it's going to be more than that by the time I finish my work. Comparison to the 113th Congress, the Congress before this one, in 2 years' time, they passed 296 laws. The 112th Congress was even worse, 284 laws. I mentioned that the other night at a dinner at the governor's residence, and Marty Halverson, I think, had the appropriate term for it in that reference to Congress. She said, amateurs. You all are not amateurs. You're hardworking. You do a great job. And as we think about why you function so well and can do so much hard work, I certainly believe it is part because the way that you treat each other and the way that you respect this institution and this body. And my thoughts today are with Representative Patton, who exemplifies civility, who exemplifies passion for Wyoming and Wyoming citizens. I had a chance to visit him in the hospital the other day, and he's still relatively weak, but he wanted me to do some things on education, and he wasn't going to leave until he told me what I needed to do on education. And that passion that he has is shared in each one of you as you do your work. And whether you agree or disagree with each other, I think that is what makes you so incredibly successful. And I think about Representative Patton and some of your longtime members like Representative Lockhart, the work that they have done for many years, and the spirit in which they do it is shared by all of you. So, I consider it a great privilege to be able to work with each and every one of you. I thank you for the work that you do. We will be judged, and appropriately so. But let no one say that this group doesn't care about Wyoming, its citizens, and works hard, not just while in session, but every day of the year, to do the very best for the state of Wyoming. And for that, Mr. Speaker, I congratulate you and each member of this body, and we thank you for your time this morning.
Representatives Burkhart and Dayton, would you please escort the governor? Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the following. That the House of Representatives, 63rd Wyoming State Legislature, General Session, adjourn until a date and time which are determined jointly by the Speaker of the House of Representatives and by the President of the Senate for the purpose of calling the House and the Senate back into session. That if no time is established before December 31st, 2015, the House of Representatives, 63rd Wyoming State Legislature, General Session is adjourned sine die effective at 12 o'clock noon on that date, and the legislative session, budget session, 63rd Wyoming State Legislature, shall convene on the 9th day of February, 2016, at the hour of 10 o'clock a.m., that the House of Representatives specifically concurs in any identical motion adopted by the Senate. That if the Senate fails to concur in the action of the House of Representatives under paragraphs 1 through 3 of this motion, by adopting an identical motion applicable to the Senate, the House of Representatives, 63rd Wyoming State Legislature General Session is adjourned. Sine die.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We're now at that order of business of reading and approval of the journal. Where is she? She's Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of March 6 has been read, and I move that it be approved.
Representative Schwartz.
Mr. Speaker, I second the motion.
There being no objection, the report is adopted. Subject to the conditions set forth in the majority floor leader Berger's motion, the House of Representatives, 63rd Wyoming State Legislature, General Session, is adjourned and shall again convene the legislative... budget session on the 8th day of February 2016 at the hour of 10 o'clock a.m. Representative Winters.
Friends, if you would stand and join me as we close this session in prayer. And I just want to say I'm honored to have served you and with you as we've served the people of our state. And while we have many different opinions, and we hold our views very strongly, we are friends. And you have demonstrated that to me and two of our other colleagues this year with the personal losses that we've suffered. And I want to say thank you on my behalf and on theirs as well. And I want to leave you with a scripture as you go back to your homes and your families. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for being the source of all that is good. We know that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And you have been good to us this session with the decisions that have been made and the friendships that have been formed. And we thank you that you are holy and just on the one hand and caring and merciful on the other. That you are supreme over all things and yet care and know when a sparrow falls. And with that knowledge, we understand that not one of us would be here without your knowing. And thank you for, as the Apostle Paul put it in 1 Timothy 1:12, for putting us in ministry, ministry to our state. But Lord, this ministry would be above our heads without your guidance. And so we ask for your wisdom and understanding to make the decisions that we'll make through the interim and into the next budget session so that we can preserve to our children's children this gift that you've given us in the state of Wyoming. And so, Lord, I pray your blessings upon those who serve, not only here, but those who risk their lives overseas to protect this state and this nation. Please keep them safe, Lord. And Lord, I pray for those who also serve us here at home, who dedicate their lives in law enforcement, firefighting, teachers, all of those different things, and in all of the different ways in which they serve every one of us. We thank you for them, and we ask for your blessing in their lives as well. Father, please keep us safe till we meet again. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. The House is adjourned.